Well, it is so wonderful to be with you. I've greatly enjoyed my time so far. This has been a wonderful weekend. I've never been up in your country before, so it was an incredible drive. I really enjoyed the scenic route, and I took the winding roads back, up here. And I'm a motorcyclist, so I thought, man, this would be great on the bike, just to be in the scenery and to take the turns and whatnot. But nonetheless, I have had a wonderful weekend visiting, connecting, seeing your community, meeting with people, and it has been one in which I don't think I'll ever forget, because not only the conversations, but just the passion that your young adults and young people have for the Lord. It is incredible. So I don't know if you know this or not, but I stayed by the campfire last night with them, and I found that they are quite the little competitive group, to say the least. I was taken back by some of the competition that was, you know, gearing up, and some that were kind of challenges were beginning to be faced, and be cautious for some of them, but be adventurous and have fun with the other ones. So it was impressive. One of the things that I really love, I am a mad Christian, not an angry Christian, but I'm a mad Christian. I'm passionate about mentoring, accountability, and discipleship. But more so than that, to begin that, we as Christians need to want to make a difference. And so that's kind of my beginning acronym, making a difference through mentoring, accountability, and discipleship. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to speak with you and to just kind of lay out to you what God has impressed with me through his word this week. So let's just have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you so much for this weekend, this time, Lord, where we have been able to connect and just to experience your grace flow through the lives of the people. Lord, through your church body, Lord, you are here. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the presence of the willingness and the eagerness to grow hungry and deeper into you and more in love with you. Father, I'd ask this morning that as we open your word, Lord, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. And Lord, I ask that the people, will they be inspired by your word? May they challenge my words, Lord, and just as it reflects on you, Lord, I pray that they will dig into your word and hold me accountable to that which I preach this morning. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the opportunities that you've given me. But Father, I pray that this will be your time, that you will just move through the service, do with it as you may, and may you receive the honor and glory. All God's people said, amen. So have you ever heard the question, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3? You ever heard that before? Not a question, but a statement. I don't know about you, but I have so many times in my life heard this statement. My grandmother lived with us for quite a few years, I think 4 or 5, before she unfortunately passed away. And she would often say that to me as I come home and I talk about the struggles in my week and my day. And she would say, son, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. You can figure it out. You can figure it out. And I never quite understood exactly what that meant. I struggled with that. I asked her over and over again, but she didn't know the Lord. So she didn't come at it with a perspective of relationship with God. And so she would often encourage me just to, you know, figure it out. Just take it step by step by step, and you'll do along fine. In some cases, it was good. Some cases, I did really well. I figured it out. Other cases, I royally messed up. I mean royally messed up. And I thought I must have hit 10, 11, and 12 because I certainly didn't hit 1, 2, and 3 first. And so this is a kind of a lesson in my life that I've kind of taken to heart, and I've really wanted to kind of understand and break down the relationship with God and how simple it can be if we follow the steps. And so if you remember my last message I preached with you, I talked about praying, reading the word, reflecting, and obeying, and that was great, a little video from the child. I wish I would have had that one as an introduction because that was great. But truthfully, our relationship with God should not be complicated. We really should not have a complicated relationship with God. We should make it as simple as 1, 2, 3 because we need to testify and share the good news with others. And I don't know about you, but theology classes and all the schooling I've taken, you know, if I can't simplify it to the point where someone's going to understand it and be able to receive it and accept it and move with it, it's not going to do any good. And so I am a KISS kind of guy, keep it simple, silly, or stupid, or however you want to say that. That's who I am. And for me, that question, that statement of how do I get through this, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. And so let's go into God's Word this morning. I trust you have your Bibles or your app that would help navigate you through this. I'm going to do a few different scriptures. And forgive me, but these masks dry my mouth out like in seconds, so I'll be reaching for my water as much as anything else. So the scripture this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And if you little kids like to memorize Bible verses, this is a great few verses to memorize. It's really easy, but very powerful. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says this: be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? Pretty simple. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. Now, isn't that a tough one? In the midst of what we're dealing with the uncertainties of life and the different attitudes that you encounter with on a daily basis from people and sometimes even yourself, being joyful always is not an easy thing to do, is it? I hope you agree with me, because I find it challenging some days, so I hope I'm not alone with that. Just a little bit about myself before I get into the message, so you're not confused about the way I'm preaching. I'm an interactive pastor, so I love to engage with a congregation in God's Word, because I believe that it's important that as we take it and receive it, that we can understand it and then use it. So bear with me as I ask some questions, and maybe through your masks or through your computer screen, you can shout it out. I won't hear you, but nonetheless, let's dialogue together God's Word and what it means today. So be joyful always. I have a dear friend of mine. She is like my Christian mom, Evelyn Craig. As long as I've known her, and this has been since I was 8 years old, and I don't want to tell you how old I am, but some of the dinosaurs, I think they were my pets. And so I think I've outlasted them. I'm doing pretty good. But the reality is, Mrs. Craig had this saying and still has a saying to this day. I would call her up, or I would ask her, how is she doing? And she would always say, without fail, I'm still praising the Lord. Thank you. So she was joyful always. And you know what? It wasn't just the word that she said. She didn't just, yeah, I'm joyful always, still praising the Lord. Can't you see this? Yeah, that's a good thing. No, she was excited about praising the Lord. Thank you. And I knew that she had some difficult days. I knew that she had some storms in her life, and I'd witnessed some of them. But no matter what, I'd ask her how she's doing, and she would always say, still praising the Lord, thank you. So that is a hard thing to do, isn't it? To be joyful in the storms of our lives. Now, I've had some days in my life where I really should have reflected on those words before I entered into my day, because unfortunately it wasn't until the latter part or even the very end of my day that I recalled that little phrase, being joyful always. And so God gives us tools, doesn't he, to be joyful? What tools does he give you to help you bring your joy up, your joy-ometer, your excitement-ometer? Anyone? What tools does he give you to make you feel joyful? Music, yes. Sorry? His word, nice. Anyone else? Kids, nice. Outdoors, yeah. Sorry? Your friends, yes, absolutely. Purple. I love purple. I absolutely love purple. Pink and purple are my favorite colors, just so you know. And everything else, I'm colorblind, so I don't know if I'm hitting pink or purple, but that's why I think I love those colors, because I'm getting them right. But the reality is, God is giving us so many tools to be joyful. And I love music. I love to sing. Some days people wish I wouldn't love to sing, but I love to sing. And I love music. I love music of all types. Unfortunately, I have some that are not as well on my playlist as, you know, well played on my playlist as others are, but I do love all types of music. And I believe God tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He tells us to come together to gather with one another in fellowship and enjoy relationship with one another. He tells us to enjoy the beauty of his creation. And he gives us friends that we can encourage one another with and just to enjoy time with and help each other lift us up. And he gives us children. And we need faith like children. So thank you for your examples, because in Scripture, God talks about every single one of those to lift our spirits up. And it's so powerful and true. So what happens when it's really hard? Really, really hard. How do we keep our joy uplifted? And how do we know that when we struggle, it's going to be all right? Have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. And James is, the book of James I love. And I love the book of James because it's a hard book, because it's my life book. It talks about the struggles in our lives, and it gives us so many examples of what we're to do in the midst of it all. And James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Wow. So even in the midst of our most difficult times, our biggest trials, our toughest days, we're to consider it pure joy, because it's building our faith. It's making us stronger. So do you find it easy to be joyful in hard times? I don't find it easy at all. Some days I outright struggle with it. But when I open up God's word and I'm reminded in the book of James that I'm to consider it pure joy when I face trials, because the testing of my faith is going to make me stronger. It's like the life lessons that you have when you fail at something. You need to get back up and try it again and try it again until you succeed. And that's what we need to do in our Christian walk. Consider it joy, pure joy, when you face trials of many kinds. So where do we get our strength from? How do we remain strong in the Lord so that when we face these trials or we can, you know, have these difficult days, we can actually remain strong and keep our joy in the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah was given a great task to build a wall, and he organized the people to build the wall in front of them, just the little section in front of them. And together they achieved that goal in record time. But Nehemiah has this little verse, and I love it. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10. Hope all my bookmarks are in the right place. Here's hoping. If not, we're doing a sword drill. There it is. Beautiful. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the second part of the three easiest, one, two, three, is to pray continually. Pray continually. Who in the Bible do you know, when you think of a person that was faithful in prayer, who comes to mind? Yeah. Well, I heard lots. Sorry? Hannah? Paul? Yep. Daniel? Samson? David? Yes. Yes. All are great examples of men and women who were faithful in prayer. The two that come to my mind, I was raised with music, and as I said, I love music. So Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily prayed he three times, till one day they had him cast in a den of lions. Even then, in the den, fear could not alarm him. God had shut the lion's mouth so they could not harm him. And aren't you glad I did not sing that? But that is a song that I learned as a little boy about Daniel being faithful in prayer. Another example of being faithful. And actually, before I would move on, let's stay with Daniel for a few moments here, because Daniel was a gentleman that I really admired as I read through the book of Daniel. Here's a guy who is faced with the most difficult circumstances, and even a little bit of it we can almost identify with today. Here there are some governing rules that came down forbidding Daniel to pray to God. And Daniel's like, I'm not having none of that. I will pray to my Lord, and I'm going to pray to him faithfully, no matter what. And in the book of Daniel, I think I've got that bookmarked, beautiful. Daniel chapter 6 is a wonderful chapter. It's a great, great story to read for the children, because here, Daniel was thrown in a den of lions. Lions, not kitty cats, not little dogs and little animals that you can pet and play with, but a den of lions who were not friendly to people. They would eat the people. But in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, says this, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, so when they made the law that you can only pray to King Darius and not to God, what does Daniel do? He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before, no matter what. And if you know the story, people conspired against Daniel, and they got him thrown in the den of lions. And no matter through that trial, Daniel still remained faithful in prayer. And when they went to see his body eaten up by the lions, they were amazed to find that the lions did not touch Daniel at all, and that God protected him. So as we face trials in our lives right now, where we're asked to do different things that we typically wouldn't do in the form of worship and gathering and whatnot, let's remain faithful in prayer. Let's not give up. Let's not give up praying to God. Let's not give up asking God for the direction that we need. And I'm not about going against authority or things like that. My job, my role as a pastor, my role as a man of God is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, right? So the second person that comes to my mind when I think about being faithful in prayer in the midst of storms is Jesus. And Jesus was a man that I would love to just sit at his feet and listen as he toured around the ministry places that God set before him and touched the people and just shared wisdom and shared the love that God the Father had given him for the people. I wish I could have been there. But not only that, I wish I could have witnessed Jesus' dedication to praying to God the Father. You see, he knew God's plan, and he knew that God's plan was hard and difficult, and he knew that God's plan was going to require him to sacrifice himself for man, for all of us, so that we can have this freedom. And he did it. Willingly, he did it. But let's turn to the Bible and let's read, in the midst of the storm, the greatest storm that Jesus faced, the very end, just when he's about to get faced with trial, and then ultimately the announcement that he's going to be crucified, what did Jesus do? He prayed. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46 is a few verses I'm going to read because it's really, really, really important. And I hope my eyes will allow me to see this. Some of the dinosaurs that I've outlived, man, I tell you, my eyes are failing me as well. And the glasses don't seem to want to work the way that I want them to. So Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus is sad. He's heartbroken. He knows that God the Father has asked him to do something which is beyond whatever we could imagine. And he says this, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." What a powerful, powerful statement that Jesus is saying. But in the midst of that, Jesus is literally calling out to us and saying to us, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our uncertainties, in the midst of our difficulties, pray. And don't just pray a little bit, pray steadfast. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your spirit fixed on God's plan for you. There's a Bible verse that I love, and I actually have it on my wallet. It's etched into my wallet on the front of it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." That's often a misused Bible verse, but the reality is that verse is surrounded by times of trouble and hardship. But yet God gives those words to Jeremiah and says, "For I know the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. But in order to receive those plans, you must remain faithful," and being faithful in prayer. The third thing is one I'm learning a little bit more of, and I think I'm getting a little bit better than I probably ever been before, so I'm feeling good in this area. And that is giving thanks in all circumstances. I'm finding that a little bit easier today because the reality is we get so bombarded with negativity, we come to a point where we're just saying, enough. Enough already. I don't know how you feel, but for me, my wife is a nurse, and she is bombarded with every single idea and perspective and correct way and incorrect way and do this and don't do that. And at the end of the day, it's just so hard. And we come home and we think, well, you know what? Let's just give thanks for what we have. Let's give thanks for the blessings that we have. Let's give thanks for the opportunities that we still have to connect with people. Let's give thanks for the freedom we have to worship God. Amen? And so I want to challenge you this morning. How can we give thanks to God? What ways can we give thanks to God? What ways can you give thanks to God? Need some help? Praying and thanking Him? Sometimes just an encouraging word to someone else. What about praying for your leaders that you are really struggling with? What are you thankful for this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to come and to worship Him, and I love the music. And I was saying to the ladies this morning as they were practicing, they just mixed so beautifully, they harmonized so well. And I thank the Lord for the opportunities that we have to gather together. And Scripture says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Paul says this to his people. And it's often a greeting that and a challenge he says to the people. Are we thankful? Are we recognizing the circumstances that we're in and in choosing to say over the hardships, over the difficulties, over the trials and tribulations, we're going to choose to give thanks? My prayer for you this morning is honestly that you would recognize these three things: to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. As we recognize opportunities to do this, one of the ways that we can do this is by saying to people, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but God does. I don't know how we're going to make it to tomorrow, but God does. There's a saying I learned when I was a young boy, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's helped me so many times. So this morning, I want us to recognize that the answers are here, right in God's word. The message is delivered through people, through encouragement. The opportunities that we have to spread the word and go make disciples is not negated because of where we're at in the situation in our lives. It's not. As a matter of fact, I'm choosing to see this situation, whether it be COVID or restrictions or anything else like that, I'm choosing to see this as an opportunity to build God's church. So this morning, as I share with you just those words, I want to share a little bit more about who I am in relation to these three things. As I've studied and journeyed with God, I shared my testimony last night with the young adults, and I shared with them how God spoke to me. And it wasn't in a way that I could escape. I had often heard people, elders in the church, say, God told me to do this. I heard the voice of God say this, and I'm seeing some of you nod your head. As a young boy growing up in the church, I never heard the voice of God. And I was often wondering, how can you hear God? I can't hear him. What am I doing wrong? And so I'd ask the elders, and I'd ask them, tell me your stories. Tell me your stories of how God spoke to you. And I want to know, what did you do to make God speak to you? And they told me these three things. They told me to be joyful, to pray continually, to give thanks, and to listen, to be still, and to listen for the voice of God. And so, sorry, young people, you've heard the story last night, but I'm going to give just a little piece of it. But I was sitting in a sanctuary with 1,000 people and an evangelist who was much more active than I am. He was running back and forth, and the camera person would not be able to keep up with him, shouting and praising the Lord and raising his hands everywhere, and he was going to town, just having a great time. And I remember in a moment, as he was shouting, I became completely deaf. Like that. Couldn't hear a thing. It was silence. And I'm looking on the platform, and he's still waving his hands, and I still see the mouth moving, and I'm thinking, what is going on with my ears? And then I hear the voice of God. Do you love me? Wow. Never heard that before. Yes, 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 I love you. That I'm calling you to be a minister of the gospel. I was absolutely floored. I never in my life had that plan set up. Was never in my thoughts. Never. And so I did what any good husband would do. I said to the Lord, if this is what you want, then you would speak to my wife, because you would not call me without her, because you brought us together in this relationship. That was a great way out, by the way, guys. Or so I thought. Or so I thought. In that moment, I got my hearing back completely, and I missed what the evangelist was saying, but I think I got a better message from God. And the sermon continued on, and I looked over to my wife, and she was as fidgety as ever. She's very, like, she likes to play, and she can't sit still for a while, and as she was still going on, and I'm looking for a sign. Like, maybe God is going to talk to her right now, and maybe I'll get it. You know, everything will be clear. Or maybe God won't talk to her, and it's my out. But I was waiting, and I was looking, and nothing. She just carried on and carried on. I was like, oh, man. So we got done the sermon, and we put our kids to bed after, you know, giving them ice cream, because that's what you have to do at camp. Give your kids ice cream before bed. It makes sense. So we gave them ice cream, and we sent them off to bed. And as they finally went to sleep, I was laying next to my wife, and I said, wasn't that a good message?
And she said, yeah, God spoke to me. Uh-oh. What? And so I began to go through this dialogue with her of what did God say, and her response was simple, but yet confusing to her. God said, we need to be obedient, but I don't know. What does that mean? What does that look like? I have no idea. Obedience to what? And so I told her the first part. Wow. Needless to say, we didn't sleep at all that night. Not a second. I don't think we shut our eyes besides praying. Praying our way out of it, I think, is what I did more than praying my way into it. And so I got in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I went over to my next door neighbor's camper, and he's a missionary from Trinidad, so I thought he's pretty close to God. Maybe he'll help me get this exit plan. And I went over and I woke him up and I'm like, Anthony, sorry for waking you. Well, not really sorry, but anyway, I need to talk to you. And I said, God spoke to me last night and he called me to be a minister of the gospel. Crazy, huh? He's like, well, if God calls, he'll equip. If God calls, he'll equip. I'm going back to bed. And he left. Thanks a lot, buddy. So nonetheless, I went up to the prayer chapel, the same place where I'd heard the voice of God in the sanctuary, and I went up there, and I, you know, this early morning prayer, so the seniors are there, and I thought, man, I got to get my way out of this. So I'm looking around, I find this elder, a gentleman that I've known for many years, and I went up to him, and I said, you know what, God spoke to me last night, and he called me to be a minister of the gospel. Can you believe that? Crazy. He's like, no, he's called you before. You weren't listening. I'm glad you heard it. Ouch. That hurt. Having somebody tell you that God was talking to you, but you didn't hear it, and they knew it. So to make a long story short, him and his wife took care of our kids for the day, and we spent time by the river walking and talking with God and trying to find ways, and God gave me three scenarios, instances in my life where God called me to ministry through people, and all three times I said no. All three times I said, no, it's not me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister of the gospel. No, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a youth leader. But, you know, I'm a computer guy. I am not a minister of the gospel. And God laid it out, gave me the examples. And so as I began to go through this journey, I heard the same words again. If God calls, he'll equip. And as I looked for the equipment, I didn't have to look any further than the Bible. Because in the Word, God tells us that he is speaking, that he is very active in our lives, and that he's wanting the relationship with us, and yet he will give us those tools, as we talked about from the very start. Who comes into our lives? People, music, God's creation, opportunities to be able to witness children playing and life. And we're encouraged by that. And so my hope and prayer for you today is that you recognize that God is still active. That he is still on the throne and he is still above all of us and he still has the answer. And it is easy as 1, 2, 3 to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That's my prayer for you this morning. And as you move forward into your week and as you go about your lives and you are faced with the difficult discussions and decisions, I just pray that you will seek the Lord. And I know that as I've been brought here today to talk to you about how I become a mad Christian, how I've been excited to make a difference through mentoring, accountability, and discipleship, looking at your church, you have all the tools that you need right here to navigate through this journey, to help you on your way, and to recognize that God can continue to do the good work as he has done already faithfully in your church. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. It has stood the test of time, and it is so true. Father, we know that no weapon formed against it shall prosper. Father, we know that you've gone through some of the most difficult things, way more harder than we can ever ask or recognize or imagine. But through that, Lord, you have given us the guidebook, the manual, the operating manual, the instructions than what we need to get through everything in our life. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for relationships with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We have that freedom to receive that joy and unconditional love. Father, I pray this morning that each person here would be able to receive that. Lord, may they also be changed by that, and may they make a difference for you. Lord, I love you. And I love the calling you've placed on my life. As hard as it was to receive, Lord, you did provide the ways. You did equip me. And Lord, I'm continually being equipped to be used by you. And Father, I pray this morning that everyone here will be in the same journey. No matter the age, no matter where they're at in their life, Lord, may they recognize that they, as long as they have breath, they'll continue to praise and worship you and to do your will. Lord, I thank you for this church, for the relationships that I've made in such a short time. I thank you, Lord, especially for the young adults and the young children. They are our future. And Lord, their encouragement and their passion to grow closer to you is just, it moved me so deeply. And Lord, I thank you for the elders of the church, the ones that have been the pillars, that have stood the test of time through the church and seen through some difficult times. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to guide and direct them. Lord, may they also share their stories, their testimonies of how God has been active in their lives. Lord, I just thank you this morning for the freedoms that we still have in the midst of some of the struggles and trials that we're up against. Lord, let us come to the table unified as a body of Christ, not divisive, but Lord, unified together. And may we continue to do your work here in this community and wherever you place us. And for all this, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.